Welcome back, everyone. I'm sure that you joined us for our second day because one of our teachers, Linda Chung, was there teaching there. Hi, Linda.
Hi. I'm so glad to be back. Yes, I was living in Namibia for about a year and a half, so it was my home during that time.
Can you imagine? I didn't even realize that. Did you know that?
No, that was news to me.
Lots of surprise about our teachers. Yeah. Joe, have you ever lived in any other countries?
I haven't lived in any other countries. Most of my travel has just been in Asia.
But you're going to go there, right?
But now I'm going to go to South Africa in February, actually at the end of this month, and I'm just looking forward to it so much.
Isn't that wonderful? Well, that's exciting. And, you know, this place sounds like an interesting place. One good thing about it is that the national language is
English.
So it's easier for you to get along when you're there and see some beautiful things. What would you like to see when you're there?
You know, for me, I love seeing animals, but now knowing about the nomadic sand people, I want to see that traditional lifestyle, the bow making, the songs, the water gathering,
the dances. Yeah.
That sounds so fascinating.
How were the people you were there teaching them? Did they eager to learn? And what did you feel about the people in
Namibia? Yes, they were eager to learn. And the people there are very friendly. They're very welcoming. In the village in which I taught, was in the northern part of Ovamboland, the kids, they had to travel very far to get to school. Some had to walk several kilometers to get to school without shoes. They would come to school barefoot, and they were given uniforms, so that was what they wore every day. And probably for several years, because you could see some of them, like they were probably passed down, and they're tattered. They have been worn a lot.
They have money to buy a lot of things.
Right. So they're impoverished. They don't have a lot, so they are very thankful for the opportunity to go to school.
Well, how many people were in that school?
The main school that I was at, they had 1 through 6th grade.
Okay.
And in each classroom, there are about 20 to 30 kids.
Okay. And so you taught English, then did you teach to more than one class or what?
Well, I was teaching the teachers.
Oh, you were teaching the teachers.
So I would teach the teachers of the students.
Oh,
and sometimes I would teach the older students, maybe the students in 5th or 6th grade, because their English was a little better so they could understand.
Well, when you went around in the village where you lived, did the people want to talk English to you?
Yes, they would always greet me. Mm-hmm. So whenever they saw a foreigner, they would always say, hello, you know, hello. That was, you know, the thing. But then after that, they wouldn't, you know, say much.
Right. They have hello. And then
they're kind of shy. Yeah.
Actually, they would say hellos, like
hellos.
Multiple hellos. Yeah, hellos. It was very cute. Yeah.
So you enjoyed your time there.
Very much so. And I encourage everyone, if you have an opportunity, to visit Namibia.
Maybe the Namibia Travel Services will be full of some of our students going now.
That's right. Influx of
people. I want to go there. Well, we're going to be on page 18 today. We started the article yesterday. We've talked about kind of a little bit generally about the country, right?
That's right. We talked mostly about safaris, a little bit about culture, just kind of broad, that adventure the author was having. And now we're going to get into a little bit more details of what he saw.
Right. In fact, today, when we're going to start out, we're going to talk about a place that Linda went to herself so she can tell us some personal things about it. So are you ready for the reading then?
Yes.
So let's read the very first section, the first paragraph.
Not far from the camp is Etosha National Park, a world-renowned protected wildlife area in north-central Namibia. I stayed in Anguma Treetop Camp, just outside the park's eastern gate. Anguma's guides treated me to numerous sightings of various antelope. I also saw warthogs, giraffes, zebras, wildebeests, elephants, cheetahs, well, you get the idea.
So we learned that not far from the camp the author was staying at, there's the Etosha National Park. Apparently, it's world-renowned. It's a protected wildlife area. And even more famously known for having Linda visit.
Yes. That's right. You were there.
I was. Actually, I went there a few times because it's not far from where I lived in north central Namibia.
Okay.
And there are so many animals there. Mm-hmm. You can actually drive yourself through the park.
Really? You can drive your own Jeep car?
Yes, you can drive your own vehicle, preferably a 4x4 vehicle so you don't get stuck. But there is a road. As long as you stay in your car, you're fine. Yes, do not leave your car.
Well,
otherwise,
the
you'll be in
danger. Will the animals come up and look at you or anything?
They won't get that close. Okay. I mean, you might see them on the side of the road, but they're not going to come and sniff the car or anything like that.
Oh,
but
well,
that's too bad.
They're used to cars driving by, okay. Mm-hmm. So they won't run away unless they're quite timid. Some animals, they will run away. But you might see an animal on the side of the road, and you can just drive up and just watch them as they go about their business.
Wow. What kind of animals did you see then?
I saw zebras. I saw giraffes. I saw elephants. I did get a glimpse of a cheetah. But the cheetahs are a bit elusive.
I heard that they have a lot of cheetahs though in Namibia.
They're supposed to, yes, because they're protected there. Mm-hmm. And so it's a good place to check off all of those animals that you want to see in the wild.
You drove your own car through there. You could drive through there, huh?
Yes. And so I drove through there with friends, mm-hmm. and we were just able to see all of the wildlife. You just drive through and you see stuff all over the place.
What I think is great here is apparently there's a treetop camp, and you can just stay right outside the park.
I did not have the fortune of staying there, and perhaps it was built after I left Namibia, but it does sound really exciting.
Right. There's a picture of it here on page 18, so I do hope you have the magazine, because there's some great photos here of Namibia.
Right. And so if you look at that top kind of header set of photos, you can see all these different scenic landscapes, and so one of them is that treetop camp. And it just looks so interesting. You get a beautiful view of the watering hole at the game reserve. This seems like a nice way to have a vacation.
Well, it says here in the top, by the picture, it says that guests can drink in a view over the canyon in front of the Grootberg Lodge. Drink in. What do you mean you drink in the view?
Right. So you're not literally drinking anything, but this drink in means that you're taking it all in, you're enjoying it, and it's so much that it's almost like you're just drinking something.
Right. You get to fully enjoy the view and everything around.
But I think it'd be fun to drive through, though. You could see so many different animals.
True. But here they show the picture. It's near a watering hole. That's where the treetop camp is.
Everybody come,
And that is where all of the animals will come. Like, they will gather at the watering hole because they all need to drink water. So it's a great place to view the animals and just see them in the wild in their habitat.
But you were in a car driving through, like a Jeep car or something.
A 4x4 vehicle, yes.
But the people that stayed in the lodge, I wonder if they could walk down on the ground and take pictures. I don't know. Maybe they had to stay up.
That sounds...
I think that would be a little scary. You don't want to be walking around.
No, I would think so.
Where the animals are. So it's nice and safe from their treetop camp.
Mm-hmm. And in the car.
Yes, and then they will go down and get in the car.
Okay, that's better. They don't just walk around. But there is a lot to see. So the next section says that there's so much to see. Let's read what some of the things we might see are.
So much to see. The sheer volume of animals one encounters in Namibia, in numbers and species, is much of what makes safaris here so impressive and memorable, especially in the dry season, from June to October, when wildlife tends to cluster around water holes. We saw much more than just large mammals. We spotted birds, like lilac-breasted rollers, pale-chanting goshawks, and northern black bustards, as well as leopard tortoises, bat-eared foxes. The viewing possibilities are endless.
Well, we had already an interesting view of a treetop camp. We were at the national park, and now we're going to learn more about just the sheer volume of animals that you can see on this trip. And Linda, what is that word, sheer?
That's just to emphasize the quantity. So there's a large amount of animals that you can see in the park in Namibia.
When you encounter them, that just means you can come face to face with them, maybe not that close, but you can come across seeing them, right?
You come across them, you meet them in
some way. There's a lot of different species, so like birds and animals and everything?
Yeah, birds, large animals, small animals, you can see so many. And
you mentioned some of the species down there. So many different kinds, it looks like.
Exactly. If you are a bird lover, yeah. Mm.
This is the trip for you.
Yes.
Well, I like turtles, but they have leopard tortoises, it says. Now, is a tortoise in the same family as a turtle?
I think so. It's similar, but tortoises tend to stay on land, while turtles, they like wet areas or they stay in the water.
And you can look any of these animals up, just Google them and you'll see what they look like. But I wonder what a leopard tortoise looks like. I mean, leopards sounds like a big wild animal, and a leopard tortoise, it must be the markings on the tortoise that look
on
like
the shell, right?
Yeah, the shell. Mm-hmm. And what about bat ear foxes? I've seen pictures of those foxes that have these big ears that look like a bat. Right.
It's so amazing to think of all the different kinds of animals that you can see and how you can get them all in one little area in their watering hole.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is very cool to be able to see all those animals maybe mm-hmm. gather together.
And that's why it's good to go on the safaris.
Yes.
You get to see them, right?
And be sure to take your camera because you will be taking many, many photos. I just remembered nonstop clicking.
Boy, that's true.
Right. And apparently one of the better seasons maybe to go if you want to see them kind of gather together in that watering hole is the dry season.
Exactly.
And you can go anyway. I think you can go before that. You're going to go before that, right?
I think you're going to go. That counts as dry season? I think so, yeah.
Okay, but I think you'll see a lot of animals there, right?
Yeah, you'll see animals any time of year, but because it's dry, then they have to go to the watering hole. Water is not so abundant. And it's also more convenient to drive around during the dry season. During the wet season, the road will get puddles, and you don't know how deep the puddles are, so you might get stuck. And that was the problem.
Okay.
Driving. So you always have to be careful.
So when you were in the national park, was that in a dry season or wet season? What was it like to drive through there by yourself?
Well, it wasn't by myself, so that was good.
With friends. Yeah.
It was with friends.
Did you have a guide with you, though, or not?
No, we didn't.
Really?
Because it's, the path is well laid out. There's just one main road, and so you just have to stay on the main road.
Don't run out of gas.
No, make sure you don't run out of gas. Make sure you have enough gas to get through the park.
That's right.
But also in the region where I lived, it was a similar climate.
Hmm.
So I would still have to drive by myself on those roads. And it was a little scary driving through there because I didn't know how deep the puddle went. I was just afraid I would get stuck, so I tried to avoid it. And the roads are not very good. They're not paved in the countryside, so it's quite an adventure.
Well, you had a good experience on that. That's good. Well, and then you did see these large mammals like the elephants and so forth, but then you could see these birds that we mentioned, and there's different names of these birds, and I think you'd probably have to Google them to find out exactly what they look like, but they all sound kind of interesting, don't they?
Right, and it's amazing all the different bird names, all the names of different animals, lilac-breasted rollers, and so being able to Google these terms will really help you understand what they look like, how big they are, and maybe how to spot them on your adventure.
Exactly.
And after you do that, you'll think, oh, I want to go see them. It'll make you want to go there all the more.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think so? But there is, more to see, and there's also a different view of so many things you can see in Namibia. So let's take the next big, long paragraph.
A different view. Leaving Etosha, I drove more than 150 miles west to the ruggedly scenic Damaraland region and Rootberg Lodge for an entirely different view of Namibia, perched on the edge of an enormous canyon of blood-red basalt rock in the Kawadi Hoas Conservancy, The lodge boasts breathtaking, expansive vistas. While in Damaraland, I encountered endangered black rhinos, which seem to have found a haven here after being poached nearly to extinction. Wilderness Safari's Desert Rhino Camp works with a nonprofit to monitor and protect these prehistoric-looking beasts. The camp's guides took me out on a day-long search for these elusive desert dwellers, and it turned out to be one of the most memorable experiences of my trip.
So, we're leaving the national park, and we're on to a different adventure more than 150 miles west to the ruggedly scenic Damaraland region. This is another area. Linda, have you been to this region?
Well, I have been near that region, and they mention a canyon, an enormous canyon that's located in this region. And I have been to Fish River Canyon, which is a famous location in Namibia. People from all over the world go there to hike. Mm-hmm. And it was actually my first hike ever, and it was an intense hike. It was a 3-day hike, mm-hmm. and we had to, have backpacks carrying all
of
our food and
everything. Where did you sleep? Did you have tents?
We slept on the ground.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Did you have a sleeping bag or what?
I had a sleeping bag and on a sleeping mat, so we could sleep on that.
But there weren't any wild animals around?
There weren't any large mammals like you would find in Etosha. There were small animals, but
was
we didn't
safe?
Really. Yes, it was safe. I was scared though that something would come out of the dark. But they just had like antelope, things like that.
What did you eat then? Did you take something along?
We had to bring all of our own food and cook our food. So that was actually the first time camping for me.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was quite a trip. I was in pain, like most of the trip.
That's a very intense first camping experience.
Yes. Yes.
Boy, for you English teachers, you want a good experience, go teach in another country.
Definitely.
That's good. Well, that was interesting. You learned a lot on that, didn't you?
I did, yes. And just being able to enjoy the beauty of the canyon. So that's another part of Namibia you can go to and just see something different.
And it's just amazing, the idea of these, like, breathtaking, expansive vistas, and to be able to enjoy that wildlife. And the author here mentions he even saw endangered black rhinos.
I know.
Yes, the rhinos are very elusive, and we see that word later on. But elusive just means difficult to find or achieve. So if you see a black rhino, that is a big plus, a big check, because people usually aren't able to spot them. And they're endangered because poachers aren't killing animals.
Because they make a lot of Chinese medicine.
Yes, certain part of their body is used to make Chinese medicine.
Which is really too bad in a way because, we need these big old creatures, you need to get rid of them.
It's true. And, one of the things mentioned here is that the area appears to be a safe haven, a safe spot for them to gather together and maybe be safe from poachers.
Right, so they are protected in this area. Although, even in protected areas, poachers will sneak into and still kill the rhinos for their horn.
Isn't that terrible? Now, this word poaching, this is one of the terrible things that we have to try to get rid of in this world.
Right, and so to poach is to hunt, kill an animal for profit, but it's also done illegally. So there's a difference between hunting an animal and poaching it.
That's
and whether
right.
it's legal is right. the key difference.
Well, and if you kill too many animals, there won't be that species anymore. And what word do we use to say that?
Oh, well, we use the word extinction. And so
sad word.
It's a very sad word. And here, notice that the black rhinos, they may not be extinct, but they're endangered, which means that they might be extinct if we don't do something about the poaching.
Right.
Right. It tells about here that there's this wilderness safaris desert rhino camp. They work with this other nonprofit to monitor, to check up on and protect these prehistoric looking beasts. They look like something out of a, ancient history, don't they? They're scary.
Right. They almost seem like dinosaurs.
Yeah, they look like they belong to the dinosaur era.
Right. And so at this camp, guys, they took him out on this day-long search for these elusive, like you just said, means hard to find, desert dwellers, these rhinos. And that really was one of the most memorable experiences of this trip that this person had.
Right. So just like Linda mentioned, if you can see a black rhino, that is a huge check mark on your trip, right?
Right, exactly. Because they're hard to find, and they run away. They're the kind of animal that they will, you know, run away from the car.
Oh. I don't blame them. You don't put people out to get them. Right?
Well, if I see a car and I think poacher, I'm going to run too.
Yeah, they probably had bad experiences.
But you went to a lot of different places. Do you want to tell us any other things that, you know, you did that were interesting there?
Yes, of course. Besides the places that we've talked about in the article, there are also other places in Namibia. For example, you can go along the coast to Swakopmund, and that is a coastal village. It was a very quaint town when I visited, but they've probably had a lot more tourists ever since Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, two famous Hollywood actors, they had their first child in Namibia, in Swakopmund.
Wow.
And they
really?
Probably went there because nobody knew about that place until they went there.
Mm-hmm.
But they sort of put it on the map for the rest of the world who didn't know about that place.
Right.
But from Swakopmund, you can go to the famous deserts in Susaswe and the Namib Desert. Actually, the country gets its name from this desert because it covers a large part of the country over on the west side.
Right. And so I was doing a little bit of reading, and I'd seen it on the National Geographic, that apparently there's the world's highest sand dunes.
Yes, they have extremely high sand dunes, and I just remember climbing up there. It took some effort to climb up there because
in the sand.
Climbing on sand, yeah, it's like for every three paces, you take one step. Yeah, because you're always like falling behind.
Well, but when you went down,
so
did you kind of slide going?
You can slide. Actually, you can do that as a sport. Mm. They have mats. You can go sandboarding. Yeah, so you just slide down the side of the
sand
dune.
You have to climb up first.
Yes, you have to climb up first. Or you can get someone to carry you. Yeah, it's still fun. And it's so beautiful when you get to the top of the sand dune to just be able to look out and see the desert. You go there during sunset or sunrise, that's when you get the best view because you get the contrast of the shadows, and it's just amazing. That's the first place I went to where it looked exactly like the pictures that you would see in the National Geographic magazine or on TV. It's just a breathtaking experience.
That's just so amazing, and to be able to have such a picturesque adventure.
Yes.
I'm sure that you saw so much, and our people that want to go there are going to see this. It'd be like the author. He said he left wanting more. Let's read the last paragraph.
Left wanting more. My last stop was Damaraland's Mowani Mountain Camp, designed to blend in with the area's trademark red sandstone boulders. My stay at Mowani was beautiful and bittersweet, as it marked the end of my trip. I was left wondering how long it would be before I got to see Africa's wild animals in the wild again.
So, after all these wonderful vistas and places to check out, there's one last stop on the author's adventure, and that is at a mountain camp, which was designed to blend in with that area's red sandstone boulders. And this is so cool just to hear about how different each and every place seems to be.
Exactly. And I didn't stay at this particular mountain camp, but I stayed somewhere that had a similar, sounds like it was designed similarly, to just blend into the environment. So you could pass by and not really notice that it was a lodge because it was built into, built into the rock.
Mm.
And it just made it more meaningful being out there and just being part of the environment.
Well, the author said here that his stay here was beautiful and bittersweet. And this idea of bittersweet is really an interesting word.
Right. Bittersweet is just how it looks. It's a moment that's wonderful and enjoyable, but maybe also sad. seeing a friend goodbye, you're glad to see them, but they're leaving. So it's a bittersweet moment, we can say.
Right. You're happy and sad at the same time.
Did you feel that way kind of when you left Africa?
I
did. That's so bittersweet.
I did. I was sad to leave, but I was also looking forward to going home and seeing my family.
Right.
But I do hope that I have another chance to go back to Namibia. I haven't been back there since I left, but it's such an amazing place.
We should have a studio classroom trip there, and you can lead us sometime.
The whole office should just go together, and we'll write more articles.
That's right. But it's really good, and I hope that you get a chance to go, Joe. But all of you listening in, whether we can go or not, we can appreciate these beautiful, different places in the world, not just the place that we live. Let's think about this. It's our window on the world. That's what advanced is. And today, we've opened our eyes to another part of the world, and it's opened up a beautiful place for us, and I'm so glad that our teacher Linda was there. And if you want to talk to her, you can go see her at Friday Night Live and ask her about it sometime. But thanks for being with us today. Thank you, all of you, for this trip here to Namibia. So we'll say goodbye for now.
Goodbye.